Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
AFLAC!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, AFLAC.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. David Gage is our guest. He's a member of our Brain Trust. David is a clinical psychologist by profession, but he also is the president of BMC Associates, which is a consulting and mediation firm, which helps small business owners work out their challenges. And he's also the author of The Partnership Charter, How to Start Out Right with Your New Business Partnership. David, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. You know, being a business owner, David, as you know, is hard enough when you're all by yourself and you don't have to ask anybody's permission to do anything. But when you bring in a partner, that adds a lot of leverage. That can add a lot of advantages, a lot of benefits. But it also adds another human being that has to be dealt with. And the part I have seen about every kind of partnership you can think about in my long career. And when it works, it's beautiful. When it's not, it's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think about that?
Well, that is so true. When it works, it just gives you tremendous advantages. I mean, you can just do things that you couldn't do if you didn't have a partner, with whatever skills, expertise that they bring to the table. But there is no question that it adds an entire new level of complexity to the game. And it's much more complex than, of course, than adding another employee.
Right.
Because employees, it's a certain kind of relationship, and you have certain advantages, and you can fire them, you know, if things get bad enough. Very hard to fire partners. I mean, you can't, essentially.
Well, you can, but not wind up with the entity that you founded. You got to fire each other and go your own ways. But what would make someone want to become a member of a partnership, a business partnership?
Well, there truly are such advantages. There's some research out there that looked at companies, a lot of companies, 2,000 companies, and examined whether they had partners or no partners, and examined how well they did, how fast they grew. And I think the number was 94% of the fastest growing companies. When they looked at the fastest growing companies, 94% had partners.
Wow.
As opposed to solo entrepreneurs.
Wow.
That was pretty incredible.
That's a number that actually kind of shocks me.
It shocked me too, to tell you the truth.
That's almost within the margin of error, 100%, isn't it?
It is. And then if you look at like Inc. magazine and Entrepreneur, those magazines do their own sort of semi-official research, and they look at fast-growing companies. And when you examine those, I mean, they don't really look particularly at whether they were partners or not, but they list the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through that list, usually 7 or 8 out of the 10 fastest-growing companies are also have partners.
Of the partnerships that you know about that have been successful, the ones who became beautiful,
mm-hmm.
What were the common denominators? What were the markers? What was the profile of that business and those individuals that made it work?
Well, it's interesting. When I've asked them, those people who really genuinely think they have a great partnership, and I say, you know, what do you think it was? Almost all the time, they say it was trust, that they really, really trusted their partner and their partner mm-hmm. trusted them. And as we all know, that's not so easy to come by or to maintain. Mm-hmm. A lot of things people do can get in the way of keeping that trust.
That's exactly right. And a person that might be able to be your good friend for life, mm-hmm. when you become business partners with them, those same things that attract you to them might not work out. You know, another thing that would seem to me that I was just thinking about this as you were saying this, you're giving your answer, the answer, David. I was just thinking, you've got to have compatible differences.
Mm-hmm.
I knew some guys who were financial planners. And they were partners. One of them was a great prospector, and the other one was a great closer.
Mm-hmm.
They had compatible differences.
It's terrific.
And you know, some people like to work in the daytime. Some people like to work at night. Some people, you know, I mean, you got to have everybody's different. So you got to make sure that the differences dovetail somewhat, don't you?
Absolutely. And there are personal values that come into play.
Work ethic.
How people treat other people, like each other and employees and customers and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are personality style differences. In the book I wrote, I talk about the Washington Wizards owner, Abe Pollin, and then he owned the Washington Wizards, and then he wanted Michael Jordan to come and be his partner.
Mm-hmm.
And he got Michael Jordan to be his partner. And they both are enormously dominant personality style.
Right.
And they didn't look at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really seriously doubt that they ever discussed that before becoming partners.
Mm-hmm.
And after they became partners, it was awful.
It's not about the money and the stuff or even the business model, folks. So usually those things are just fine. It's the way the human beings. You know, David, I've been saying for a number of years now that the only problem with humanity is the humans. Now,
problem.
But when it starts turning south, when it starts stinking just a little bit, there's a method called mediation that can help people work out of this, isn't there?
There definitely is, and it's such a better approach because it's really interpersonally, it's so easy on people as opposed to the alternatives of litigation and arbitration. Those are really tough because they're adversarial approaches.
Mm-hmm.
They pit people against one another, whereas mediation, if you get a good mediator, what he or she does is he sits you down and says, okay, what's the problem? What problem do you both share? You know, it's not mm-hmm. one person's problem or the other. It's you guys have a problem and you share this problem. And how can we work collaboratively to get you out of this problem?
Hold on to that thought, David. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask David, does this mean that if you go to mediation that we're breaking up, or can the thing be saved by mediation? 20 after, we're talking about partnerships. David Gage is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. A little Chicago for you there. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend David Gage. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Check it out, please. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. We also have a blog there, by the way, which we update every weekday. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds of Brain Trust members, lots of resources there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. David Gage is one of those guys who helps us do that. He's a member of our Brain Trust, the author of the Partnership Charter. And we're talking about, by the way, David, give us your website and tell us where your book is available.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's BMC Associates. B as in boy, M as in Mary, C as in Charlie. BMC Associates. And that's the website,
bmcassociates.com,
yes. And people can download the first couple chapters of the book and read all about partners and the advantages and the struggles and read a little bit about the partnership charter process, where that really helps people to look at all the different issues, personal, interpersonal, and business mm-hmm. issues, before they become partners. And we're in Arlington, Virginia.
And the book's available there, wherever books are sold, and from the website, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the author is David Gage, G-A-G-E. Okay. The question I asked before we went to the break, David, was, can a partnership actually be saved if there's a partnership that's going through a rough patch? You know, maybe divorce is on the horizon. Maybe divorce is already being discussed, mm-hmm. and it maybe it's almost a foregone conclusion for the parties. Can mediation save a situation like that?
Well, let's look at the word save. It could mean saving as in getting them back on the right track. And sometimes that's possible. Sometimes people just haven't, there's an issue that they haven't been able to face or work out because there are a lot of sensitive issues in being partners, money and ownership percentages and who does what, you know, those kind of turf battles. Maybe they haven't worked something out and that's causing the problem. But then saving in another sense, what might mean they are going to part ways, and how they do that is very, very tricky. Separating, you know, cutting up the baby,
right.
Splitting the family, splitting the business can be very adversarial
and ugly,
or it can be more collaborative and cooperative. And that's really the goal of mediation, is to take whatever problem exists and get people working on the same side of the table as opposed to on opposite sides.
Mm-hmm. But the human emotions get so involved and they override the reason, don't they?
Well, they do. And one of the advantages of mediation is it's actually a very informal process as opposed to litigation and even arbitration. In arbitration, which people often confuse with mediation.
What's the difference, quickly?
Quickly, the difference is that in arbitration, it's still very adversarial. You have people arguing one side and arguing the other side, and a third party, the arbitrator, decides who's right and who's wrong. And in mediation, that just doesn't happen.
And in arbitration, typically you can be represented by an attorney,
yes.
Whereas with mediation, typically you're not.
Exactly. Typically you're not. You could be, but really it's more like the partners themselves figuring out their future. And whatever they figure out, they have to agree to. It's consensual.
Right. Isn't the best way to have a successful partnership in business, the best way is to anticipate the divorce and plan for it?
Absolutely. Totally.
And is anticipate the wrong word? Should I just say, plan for the eventuality? I didn't mean to say anticipate, meaning that it was a foregone conclusion, but anticipate the possibility.
No, you're right. It's that old saying, you hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Right.
And it's a good exercise, actually, for people becoming partners to say, okay, we want it to work, we think it's going to work, but what would we do if it didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
And plan that out. That's a pretty good exercise.
Would we call that a business prenuptial? Is that what we call that?
Yeah, sure.
You really have to think about it like as a marriage, don't you?
You do. More business partners use that analogy than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they often say, I see more of my business partner than I do of my marriage partner.
Right. So what would that plan look like, that anticipating the eventuality of failure? What would that plan look like?
Well, it has different components, Jim. One, you want to look at the circumstances, all of the different circumstances that could get you to a dissolution. It might be that somebody just becomes not interested in the business anymore, and it's nobody's going to hold that person at fault.
Nobody's mad. I just changed my mind.
Exactly. And then you want to look at the other kind where, even though you sit there at the table becoming partners and you say, I trust you, we're both honorable people, but you say, what if somebody stole money from the business? Or what if somebody abused an employee and there's a lawsuit? And what if those things happen? And you say, okay, under those circumstances, it's a different game. That person is going to suffer some consequences, and here's what those consequences
would
be.
And you spell those things out.
You can.
Wow.
You're absolutely free to spell
those things out. But you also, do you recommend also that people put in place a mediation plan?
Most definitely. Typically, lawyers will say to people forming partnerships, well, you need arbitration because you don't want to go to court, do you? Oh, no, of course we don't want to go to court, so we'll go to arbitration. But that's not enough.
Arbitration, if it can be saved, arbitration won't do it, but mediation might.
Right.
David Gage is our guest. The book is called The Partnership Charter. David, will you come back another day?
I'd be happy to.
Happy New Year to you, sir. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Quick break. Right back with Mary Beth Franklin. She's with Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.